Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome to Friday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio, heard around the world on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen, and so pleased to have you with us here today. 8 a.m. Central Time Zone on the nose here on this Friday, March 4th, 2005 edition of the show. I'd like to welcome those now joining us on shortwave at 13.570, those listening online at rbnlive.com, and also a deep, heartfelt thank you to all of the numerous broadcasting outlets around the country and around the world who have told me that they play this show. I sincerely and deeply appreciate you giving us a broader range, a louder voice in the world in this time. It's so important. And my guest today, I think, is one of the most important people out there, because what he's doing is tackling a very, very difficult subject. He's doing it with joy in his heart and in his voice, and he's not afraid to have a little bit of fun. And, gosh, we sure need a little bit of that in our lives at this time. Check out the website, franklyspeakingradio.com. You can link up to his website, which is martinzender.com. Also on the website is our phone number to dial into the show today, 1-800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest has written numerous books. As we just talked about, some of his, his book deals are available on his website, martinzender.com. You can go ahead and pick them up. It's a great deal. You may be going with somebody else, too, if it's if you want to go ahead and split the cost. It's certainly an excellent option. Some fantastic books in this order. How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, Martin Zender's Guide to Intelligent Prayer, Martin Zender Goes to Hell, and Flawed by Design, all outstanding books. And, of course, you've got his audio CD, which is a lot of fun, and just some brilliant insights. And maybe we'll play a track if we have time, but we have a lot of phone calls coming in. Let's welcome back our guest today, Martin Zender, author, speaker, researcher, and great friend to me. I appreciate your time here today, my friend.
I'm looking forward to taking these calls, too. I'm glad that people are calling in, and that shows me that people are in the mix. They want to know. They're not just going to sit back and say, let things roll over them.
Absolutely. Well, that's the way I look at it. Here's the thing. I'm not going to argue with you on things, because I know from our experiences that everything that you say is sourced. So even when, you know, you have to correct me, which has already occurred once on the show today, and I'm sure will occur many more times, I could check it out, or I can, you know, realize that you, this is what you do for a living, you know, and it's like, all right, well, so if people want to call up and argue with you, it's going to waste a lot of time and nothing's going to get accomplished. But if you want a different perspective on maybe one of those theological discussions that's always sort of come up in conversation, this is a great opportunity for people to get informed. So, should we go to the phones?
Yep.
Let's do it. 1-800-313-9443. Pick up the phone and use it. It's toll free. Amy in Arkansas, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Amy.
Hi. I called this morning to ask some questions. First, I wanted to say that my favorite billboards that I saw at churches were How Would God Want You to Vote? And God Would Have Been a Republican. But I saw those.
Wow.
Those are my favorites. Yeah.
And you went back to this church?
No, I don't go there. Just passing through. They were on the marquee.
Oh, okay. The ones that, all right, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Here in Northwest Arkansas.
That's funny.
Yeah. I wanted to ask some questions. Illegal immigration is a hot topic, and it's a hot topic here in our state. Do you have any thoughts as are those of us who want to put an end to illegal immigration, are we being unchristian in our thoughts? Do you have any
insight? I mean, I'm not up to speed on all the political issues, but I don't think that's being unchristian. It's not. Nobody wants anybody dead. Nobody wants anybody killed. Nobody wants to commit a crime with this. So no, I don't think that's against God at all. To answer your question in a simple way, unless there's violence.
Let me interrupt here, because we got a commercial, so Amy, we're going to have to ask you to hang on, and Martin also. But Martin, this kind of gels with what you were just talking about obeying the higher authority,
right?
Even if our own government officials don't. They call it illegal immigration for a reason. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something me what it's all about. I got soul, and I'm super bad. I got soul, and I'm super bad. Now I gotta move. Tell me what to do.
Good morning, folks. Welcome back. You are listening to Friday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio, heard around the world on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whelan. Glad to have you aboard here with us today in hour number three already. Be aware of that website, franklyspeakingradio.com, and the phone number, 1-800-313-9443. And my guest today, glad to have him with us. He is super bad. Martin Zender, welcome back to the show.
I like that song. That was great.
I thought you liked that. Matt's doing a great job there in the studio of pulling out the old favorites for me, so I always dig on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's bring back Amy from Arkansas, and we anxiously await your take on this, Martin.
Well, I was thinking about this during the break until you played that song, then I started jamming and forgot everything I was going to say. Well, let's put it this way. You know, our house is a secure place, your home. Now, if somebody comes to the door who looks very suspicious, they look like they maybe just hopped off the train, because you're a Christian, are you going to let them in?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, well, I'm asking anybody. I mean, generally, are you ungodlike, unchristian, uncharitable if you're protecting your own interests?
I just didn't want to be, you know, I just didn't, it's bothering me to be, I'm being unkind, and but anyway, that, you know, that's enough said on that. I mean, that's how I feel, but.
It's an excellent question, and I'll tell you what, it just completely blindsided me. That's one I didn't expect, but it's brilliant.
I have a couple other questions, and I'll make them quick. And you can just answer yes or no. I mean, if you know, you can do whatever you want to. I'm not saying that, but I don't need a lot if that helps you. The New World Order, the one world government, global government, all that. Are we on the right track? I mean, I know what the Book of Daniel says. I feel that we are. I feel like there are people that are trying to facilitate, you know.
Now who's we, Amy?
Yeah, what do you mean we on the right track to what? To stop the New World Order? To be a part of the New World Order?
That we're you know, like when we say that these certain groups are dirty, or the Illuminati is bad, or, you know, these groups that you know, when you read these books and people are saying this is who is facilitating this, and are we on the right track? When people talk about New World Order.
I still don't understand, are we on the, who's we, and
we as
what's
in
the
me,
track?
Me, is my way of thinking that these groups of people, is that correct? That these groups of people, this Illuminati, these
that
people who
ID, what?
That they're trying to facilitate a takeover, a one world government.
Oh, that's in Ephesians. We've got that post on our website that you're not fighting against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and evil in high places. So, I mean, I think so. Martin, what are your thoughts?
Well, is Amy asking, or should you be doing more to resist it, or are you right in calling it evil, or what exactly are you uncomfortable with?
I guess I'm asking, it seems like it's really coming to a head. It feels that way to me. I know everybody in their time has felt like, you know, this is the time, you know, Social Security cards, all that stuff, but it just seems like things are getting closer and closer. You know, are we thinking... I guess are we putting blame on the right people, these groups like the Illuminati and I'm not sure if I
I don't know. Like I say, I don't know who's going to be steering the Titanic when it goes down. So it doesn't matter to me. I mean, it might matter to you and to a lot of people. I mean, I am interested in what's going on in the world, but I know that certain things have to happen and certain institutions will be doing it. I wouldn't worry about who's doing what at what time. I really wouldn't.
I guess what I'm saying is it seems like we spend a good deal of time, you know, looking at things, looking at who might be behind this, and there's a lot of books written about lots of things, and I read a lot of these books, and I'm just wondering, are we putting blame on the right people?
I see. All these things are, I mean, the Frank Show exists because all these things are interesting to people. People want want to know this. And I think Frank alluded in Ephesians to the fact that any of these players that you're mentioning are only that. They're pawns, really, in a larger scheme of things. Evil powers among the celestials, in the heavenlies, wicked forces that we can't even see are directing these earthly entities. So I think it's more important to recognize that as the source. That
That's kind of what we were talking about.
Saying, wasn't it, Frank?
Yeah, and Amy, you know, we've talked about this before.
Right.
I don't fear these certain things, and a lot of people say, "Well, Frank, you're just a defeatist." You say, "What's the point of protesting the election? What's the point of getting your city council to pass a resolution against the Patriot Act when you know it's not going to work?" In my mind, what's important is the awareness. And apparently, Amy went through a washing machine there or something. what's important, I think, is the awareness. What's important is the information, not necessarily us thinking that we have to change. I think that we have to always be aware of where we are at, always be aware of what God's role is in the grand scheme of things, meaning he's running the entire show. He's allowing things to occur to facilitate his will, his agenda, his plan. And we're just, you know, when the time comes for us to perform something, to be a part of it, to take an active role, he'll let us know. And I don't think the time is now. I think we're still in the, hey, let's wake people up sort of mode. That's my take on it. Martin?
Right. And, you know, okay. People might accuse you, Frank, of saying, well, Frank, you're inconsistent. Why is it that if you believe God is behind everything, if you believe that God is ultimately doing this, why are you trying to make a difference? Why are you trying to say, you know, take action. And
yeah.
I would say this, you know, God is behind the rain, too. There's a scripture that says, I send the rain. Does that mean I don't use my windshield wipers to get it the heck off my windshield? That's like saying, well, since it's rains of God, I'm not going to get rid of it. It's of God. I'm going to leave it there. I can't
yeah.
see, but that's okay. No, you get rid of it. It doesn't, it's not, we're not fatalists here.
Mm-hmm.
And, but on the other side of this coin, I would say this, that I think it's maybe not conducive to peace of mind to focus too intensely on all these things. There is a scripture that says, set your affections on things above. Now, this doesn't mean we walk around in a daze, like whatever. It just means that when we start to lose our peace, when it starts to disturb us, when these evil things that are happening in the world start to depress you, make you want to eat chocolate or something, set your affections elsewhere. Take a break. Think of what's really important. What's God doing?
Okay.
Well, can I ask two questions and then I'll drop off?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I know this is light and lengthy.
It's okay.
But the other question is if you could discuss the Nephilim or Nephilim. I've heard it pronounced different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard preachers say, well, the fallen angels, that anyway, it was just descendants of Seth, and that doesn't make any sense to me. But if you could discuss the Nephilim and obelisk. Those are something that have been deemed nasty little symbols, and if you could kind of explain maybe their powers or if you have any insight on that, and I'll let you go.
Amy, thank you. God bless.
Thanks,
excellent
uh-huh.
questions, and as always, love when people make us think. Martin, okay, there we go. Two big questions. Nephilim, who are they? What do they want? What's their role? And I guess obelisks and symbology and so on and so forth, I guess, maybe occultic or whatnot.
Well, I can't really comment on the obelisk. I don't know anything about them. As far as the Nephilim goes, these weren't angels. They were humans. They were descendants of humans. And the fact that they're called, I think maybe they're called Elohim in the scripture, which means God, that throws people off. They were of great repute. They had a great reputation in the earth. They were simply great humans. They weren't supernatural beings. People talk about the angels came down and mated with human women and created some wacky offspring. That's just not true. These were human beings. There you go.
Okay. Now, would this be like a spawn of fallen angels, though?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
All right. Outstanding. Jim in Texas, welcome to the show.
God bless.
Good morning. God bless you.
I'm the caller that called in about the amen.
Yeah,
Frank
yeah,
was
I know
speaking
who you are.
Of.
Yeah.
I was just letting Martin know.
Oh, okay.
here's my thought on it, since you wanted to know where thoughts come from if people do think these things, Frank.
That wasn't an insult.
No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
I'm just giving you my thoughts on it.
Oh, okay.
1 Corinthians 1:10-21, you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons. You cannot eat
right.
at the Lord's table and the demon's table.
Mm-hmm.
You know that verse. That's
yeah.
telling you you can't do both.
Right.
But then you refer to Revelations, and it calls the devil the great deceiver.
Yeah.
Well, if you look up deception in dictionary.com, it tells you these verbs mean to lead another into error, danger, or disadvantageous position by underhanded means. Deceive involves a deliberate misinterpretation of the truth. And my thoughts on it are Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. If there's any way that the devil could deceive you to not find that road, he would. And since Amen is short for Amen Hotep, in every Egyptian writing I can find, which was King Ramses, the supreme god of gods, according to their literature, I just think closing a prayer with Amen is changing your prayer into a form of idolatry. So I'd like to get
an excellent, excellent
that.
Question. And yes, I remember we had this discussion. It's very, very well thought out. And I'm anxious to hear the answer, too. But, Martin, I'm going to have to ask you to hang on. Jim, if you'd hang on, too.
Okay.
There's the music. Quick break, my friends. We'll come right back. We'll answer some questions, take some more calls, have some more fun with our guest, Martin Zender. It's Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us. To Frankly Speaking Radio, heard around the world on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you aboard here today on this fine Friday morning. The number to interact with our guest today, Martin Zender, is 1-800-313-9443. We'll get to all these phone calls. Give us some time here. Martin, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, Frank, this Matt guy who's picking out this music, he needs to be promoted. He needs a raise or something. This guy's brilliant. He's picking out these great
I'm
songs.
I'm telling you. Well, you know,
you're good.
I told him to get them, but I mean, he's choosing to play them. I told him to find the songs, but
okay,
no, all credit goes to him.
You're the genius and he's the facilitator.
That's right. He is the man who makes my dreams happen. So, I certainly appreciate everything.
What a place of power you have.
You know, I have a very diverse musical taste, and I'm glad to see that you're digging it, too.
That's funk, man. That funk is good.
I love it. There's nothing quite like it. Let's bring back Jim. Jim posed some wonderful questions and some great scriptural foundation for why he's asking them.
I wouldn't
Martin.
Say, no, he doesn't have great scriptural foundation.
Okay.
No, this is a word God used. It's in the divine vocabulary. It's a Hebrew word, A-M-A-N. It's actually transliterated into the English, which means it's taken directly from the Hebrew into English without changing it. It's a divine word. God chose it for his vocabulary. It's in the scriptures over 75 times. And so if we have an issue with this word, we have an issue with God. He even chooses to use it as a title of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3:14, we have, now this is saying, the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And Amen means faithful. That's the meaning of the word. It's a Hebrew word, Amen, A-M-E-N. It means faithful. Now, if Satan has taken this word and twisted it and made it the name of some crazy king, like you're telling me, then that's Satan's business. But I'm telling you, this is a holy word. When I say holy, it has been separated by God and used in the scriptures. So this is God's word, Jim.
You know what, though? He has great scriptural foundations in that he's asking the question because we're told not to be deceived.
Okay, I see what you mean there.
Yeah.
Right. So, Jim, you're concerned about being deceived, but I think that the fact that perhaps this word was taken by an adversarial force and used in another manner does not negate the fact that God chose it first and uses it in a good way in the Scripture. The word means faithful. That's what the word means.
Okay, the word you're using is aman, A-M-A-N, not A-M-E-N, which is commonly taught in the United States. And I still wonder, since the Zionists have translated all of that stuff from the original Hebrew, what the word was in the original Hebrew text in their language at the time.
Well, I'm seeing A-M-E-N in the original Hebrew text. I'm looking at the Strong's Concordance.
I've got the concordance on the Internet, and seeing A-M-E-N.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm seeing as well, A-M-E-N. And I'm with Frank, though. You know, I mean, I'm all for being discrimination, exercising discrimination in these matters that have to do with God. But I don't think this is really critical. I think people know what they say, amen, they're saying faithful. Faithful is God. And so I don't see a big problem with this.
I didn't know it meant faithful. I just thought that's
faithful.
How you concluded the prayer.
Yeah.
But
faithful.
But at the same time, like I said, I think that God is tolerant of our distractedness and our, you know, flawed humanity, and as a result of that, I think he understands if you're talking to him or if you're not. And sort of as you were saying, Martin, with the that the Spirit is interceding between you and God. That sort of removes, I guess, some of the fear that or concern that some people would have. I don't know. Maybe that helps Jim.
Yeah, a little. Everywhere I'm looking, though, I'm still seeing that it was done in the Egyptian time frame for the translation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God picked this word before that.
I can't read Hebrew, so I can't say that he did in the original text.
Well, I can't read Hebrew either, but I do have this reference book that says the Hebrew word is A-M-E-N, and so that's an actual Hebrew word that means faithful. When the people wanted to say faithful back in the Hebrew days, they said amen.
Well, according to my Hebrew friend, aman, A-M-A-N, means the Lord's will be done.
I don't even know that A-M-A-N is in the divine vocabulary.
I don't know that A-M-E-N, like I said, that comes down to fallibility of man.
Well, there's no doubt man is fallible, but the words that have come across are true, I believe. It's how you translate them that's fallible. I mean, the words are the words, and somebody could take a word and present it in a true way, the way it, God meant it, or they can distort it and hide the origins of it and twist it and make it some other thing. I don't doubt men do that. I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying that let's go with God's definition of it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks
excellent
call,
question.
Though.
Excellent Thanks. Question. I appreciate it. You know, that raises a whole other issue, Martin, and once we get through these phone calls, maybe we'll have to talk about it, which is the intent of a word, taking God's name in vain and all the other things that people are concerned about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people are really confused about taking God's name in vain. It has nothing to do with saying Jesus Christ or goddamn, nothing whatsoever.
Yeah, well, it's fascinating stuff. All right, we're going to take another break. Boy, they're coming fast
another
and
break.
Furious, aren't I know. Well, that just means maybe some more funk for you.
All right.
Folks,
good
stay
point.
With us. We'll be right back with more from Martin Zender, more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen, and welcome back to the program. Our guest today, Martin Zender. Thanks for being here today, buddy.
You're welcome.
Little Rick James for you.
Nice.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
I do.
We like to have fun. Should we go back to the phones?
Yeah, let's go back to the phones.
All right. Don in Ohio, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I got a few thoughts here. I hope to get through them without messing up too much here. First off is when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and took them to either Mount Sinai or possibly in Saudi Arabia to, you know, that other possible site of Mount Sinai. Why is it that the Jewish people never really made pilgrimages or, you know, really made an effort to stay around, you know, the site that's supposed to be the mountain of God and stuff like that? I mean, they basically walked away from it and never looked back. You still there?
Yes.
Okay. Second one is, let's see here, Okay, there's UFOs depicted in many old world Bible paintings and stuff like that. I'd like to get your thoughts on that, whether you believe in whatever you believe in that.
Like the Ezekiel passage, you mean?
Well, no, actually, the paintings and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, you know, scripturally.
Right, right.
There's that contention. That's excellent questions.
Okay, and, you know, this world that we're living in right now, everything's supposed to be upside down and turned around. Well, if you consider 666 is 999, it's like people that are out there, you know, and they've got a something to sell or something like that. Instead of saying it's $10, they'll mark it down as 999, you know, trying to get you to, you know, I mean, the deception is there, you know, even though if it is, you know, on the part of, you know, the other person not, you know, recognizing that it's really 7 instead of 999. And hijacking religion, hijacking other religions and stuff like that. Do you have a book on, you know, stuff, you know, the differences between, like, the story of Noah and the one that was dug up in Nineveh and, like, the Psalms being supposed to be inspired by God, but then they found clay tablets in Egypt that were written in Egypt that were the same thing, but words change around and temple sites and stuff like
you
that.
You have a lot more questions because I've already forgotten, I think, the first one.
I got them all written down.
Okay, all right, good, good. All right, well, I'm sorry, Don, go ahead.
Okay, what does he think was found at Lorraine Chateau?
What?
Lorraine Chateau.
Who's that?
It's a place in...
oh, it's a what? It's a place. Oh.
Yeah, Lorenz Chateau. It's in France where, you know, the Mary Magdalene site was and stuff like that, that they think that possibly Mary and Jesus actually got there, you know, after this, you know, the possible, you know, the Holy Blood, Holy Grail thing, you know, that thing.
Oh, you mean like Monty Python? Is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's like Holy Grail in French, if you split the word up, it actually means blood royal. And it's a possibility, you know, that they're saying that he didn't die on the cross, but he actually survived and they got him out and they went to Lorraine Chateau in France.
Oh, so this is like Da Vinci Code type stuff.
Yeah, basically, okay. Yeah, but it was long before he wrote that stuff. What do you think of the Bible Code? Isn't it true that the... Catholics back when tried to kill off or did kill off all the Cathars because they believed that you didn't have to go to a church to believe in God and to be closer to God.
I'm going to have to turn my paper over here. Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll take these. Don't worry, Frank. I'll take these in rapid fire.
Okay.
And
there's more.
Oh, there was, but I'll just go with that one right
all
now.
All right.
I guess.
Don,
right.
I'll let you listen off air then. Just give us a call back if you need further clarification.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Don,
take
for the
care,
call.
Buddy.
Take care.
Boy, that's a thinking man right there. All right,
yeah,
Martin, take
man.
It away, buddy.
Well, the Jews are kind of confused right now. All Israel has been given a spirit of stupor. Romans, that's not me talking. That's Romans 11. God has temporarily given Israel. They don't even recognize their Messiah. Why would they recognize where Mount Sinai is? The temples, they don't even have the temple in the right place nowadays. The Temple Mount, where the Dome of the Rock was, that's not the original site of the temple. It's about 600 yards to the south.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, over a spring. And so the Jews, it's no amazing thing that they're off on several things. So I don't know where they think the original Mount Sinai was, but that's no big surprise if they don't understand their own history. UFOs, you know, we're not talking about blowing tin cans here. There are spirit beings. What you alluded to, Frank, Ezekiel saw wheels spinning within wheels and glowing things and all
yeah.
These are sophisticated spiritual beings that Ezekiel saw. They can manifest themselves in a number of ways. Again, we're not. I do believe in UFOs. Well, all that is a flying object you can't identify. Better to say that I believe in extraterrestrial life. But again, we're not talking about green men with antennas and flying around in flying saucers.
Sure. I mean, you could really make a case and say that God is extraterrestrial because he is not of this earth.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, I mean, think about it. UFO does not mean flying saucer. It means unidentified flying object.
It just means you don't know
right.
what it is. Right.
Extraterrestrial means not from this planet.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
Excellent point.
And so spirit beings can manifest themselves as human beings. I mean, they can walk up to your door, and they can disguise themselves as lights. I don't know. They can float. They can do whatever they want. I'm not necessarily sure they're manifesting themselves, but at the same time, there's good spiritual forces. There's also wicked spiritual forces, and we're going to get to that with the French Chateau here, but I wouldn't put much stock in it. I get too involved in it and worrying about it. I'm thankful, Frank, that I haven't seen an angel. I'm thankful that Jesus said, happier are those who have not seen and yet believe. I have a special blessing that I haven't been visited by Jesus Christ here in my office, or I haven't seen my furniture floating, or I haven't walked across water. I mean, in a way, sometimes I say, God, show me something cool. You know, I want to see you in the sky. Do something to get me out of this rut that I'm in. And then I think, wait a minute, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I'm going by raw faith here. I haven't seen diddly, all right? And I'm glad of it. Now, the next point, 666-999, that's crazy. 666 is what it is, 999, no. I mean, come on, that's ultra conspiracy stuff. That's just absurd to me.
Well, I think, you know, there is such a thing as worrying too much. And again,
exactly.
I think that, you know, 666, okay, you know, there's that, but it's like, but if you turn upside down, it's 999. And if you divide it by 3, it's 333. And if you multiply it times 2,
yeah.
it's 666.
Yeah, and you're back to 666.
You know,
it's like how many
that's
different...
just, yeah.
Yeah. And,
too many different stages
right.
involved, I think, too. If you're going to, I think you're evil if you choose to do evil. I don't think you can accidentally do evil. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
You can't accidentally do evil. Oh, I don't know about that.
You don't
Go
think
ahead.
So?
Well, give me your take on...
Well, I don't think that, you know, here we've got the $1 bill.
Yeah.
It's got the all-seeing eye of Lucifer on the back of it, okay? It's got a little owl, which some think represents Molech in the corner of the upper right-hand side. Very, very small. You'll need a microscope or a magnifying glass to see it, rather. It has the words ushering in the birth of the New World Order on it. It's got Illuminati and Masonic symbology, which the Masons have basically stated their goal is to destroy Christianity. Does that mean that if someone gives me a $1 bill, I burn it? Hell no. I collect them and I spend them. That doesn't make me evil because my intent is not to do evil. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes
That's
sense.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I understand. Yeah, we could get. I have a whole different take on the symbolism of the dollar bill, but that's another topic altogether. But
well,
I know what you're.
I guess
saying.
You're coming back next Friday.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, this stuff smacks with Israelism, and I'm not saying that part of it's not evil. I'm just saying
right.
that I think underneath that there's a. Oh, it's like I say next week maybe, but this 666 is a number of man. Every number in Scripture has meaning, and 666 is everything man can do. It's one short of God, which is number 7. 8's the number of a new order. Now, you say new world order, everybody says, oh, evil, evil, evil. God, there is going to be a new world order under God, okay, after this evil one is out of the way. And the number 8 is significant of that, 888, that's God's number. 6 is man's number. 888's new world order, I should say, God's version of it. 7 is the number of God. 5 is the number of grace, 3 is the number of perfection, 2 is the number of witness, 1 is, you know, there's all significance in numbers. 9 is not a real good number in Scripture either, but, you know, I think we're going too far there. As for the Psalms, I really didn't understand that question all the way. I think the Scriptures are inspired, just like the guy that talked about the Amen, Jim. I don't doubt that people twist God's words, but there is a pure word. God refined his word 7 times, it says. Somewhere in the Scriptures, read the whole Bible, you'll find it. His words are refined 7
right.
times, and so he's very careful. He chose his words carefully. I believe in the inspiration of Scripture, but as you know, not all translations are good. I don't get into the Bible code stuff. It's just crazy. This thing with the French chateau, I have no idea what Don was talking about. I know that these visions of Mary, people have seen. Mary is dead right now. So any visions of Mary are satanic things to get people to worship Mary, to join religions. And so if these things, if people see Mary, I feel sorry for them. That's a demonic. Demons are very good at imitating the truth. That's their whole thing. They're imitators. And they're going to make people worship superstitions, and they're going to make them worship religions. They're going to make them glorify the Catholic Church. And all these sightings of people or whatever, it's all demonic because Mary is dead. Not a popular doctrine. Mary is dead.
Not with the Catholics, that's
no,
for sure.
No, I'm sorry, but that's the facts. And so, I think Don is, I don't know if these are the only questions he has, but, you know, here's the questions we need to be asking ourselves. Who is God? What's his nature? What did Jesus Christ do on the cross? What's the nature of grace? These are the things, and instead of these hyper, hyper conspiracy things, I'd say let's focus on the important things, which is who is God, what's he doing in the earth today, and let's find some peace.
Well, you know what, though? It's one of those things. It's still, those are valid questions that need to be addressed, Martin, because you know, as well as anybody else, that when somebody gets burned by the church, or just any sort of belief structure, a lot of people will run in the opposite direction. And that the opposite direction could be atheism, or it could be just looking for, you know the church has lied to you, so you start saying, well, maybe this is true, or maybe this is true too, or I heard on a show that this could be a possibility, or I read in a book that this is the case. And with this, they're filming this movie, Da Vinci Code, this is going to be a bigger issue as time goes on, people asking questions like that, if only because the mainstream is now feeding those that the church has run off.
Well, the thing is, in order to embrace something like the Da Vinci Code, or to think that Jesus Christ escaped the cross with Mary and you know, got a room in France, you can't have much faith in the scriptures to even entertain that idea. Can you? I mean,
because I think that Jesus was required to die. He was willing to go. He, you know, and he did.
Right.
I don't think that, you know, given the option, he would have run off.
I mean, it's ludicrous to even talk about it, actually, I think. And I mean, to even entertain such an idea, you can't have any faith in the scriptures. You remember the last time I was on, I was saying people are all interested in these extra-biblical books and all these other things. They don't even know what's going on in the real, in the scriptures that God inspired. And so to even entertain these thoughts is a huge waste of time, I think. It just shows me that people don't believe, that they have a doubt that the scriptures are even inspired.
Well, that's a good point. We're just going to have to go back in and look at these things, you know, and bring it back up if we need to.
Well, again, there's a lot of verses that Jesus died on the cross.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, I know you brought it up last time, but,
right,
you know, hey, you can't reinforce that enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, fair enough. Is that all the questions? I couldn't even keep up.
I think so.
Wow. That's what, hey, we love those kind of phone
bring
calls.
Bring them on. I mean, I'm not saying don't ask these questions, but I'm going
right.
to continually challenge people to get their information from the scriptures and not to be running around, blown about by every wind of teaching. That's what Paul warned people against. I don't want you to be blown about by every wind of teaching. In other words, here's the newest thing. I'm going to jump on that. It's going to take me away from the Word of God. Oh, here's another a theory that somebody has. Some lady wrote a book, Frank, about that Jesus took her to hell. She went in these different chambers and rooms. Who was that? There's books in Christian bookstore. People give that great weight.
Right.
Like, oh, this is direct revelation from God.
Right.
Well, guess what? Anybody can say they had a direct revelation from God.
Yeah.
And the people who are saying that this was a tour of so-called hell, they have no knowledge of the scriptures, what the scriptures say hell really is.
Yeah. Well, excellent point, my friend. Excellent point. We still got a lot of phone calls.
Okay, bring them on.
Let's do it. And, folks, I'm going to throw out that number again. Again, we have about an hour and 10 minutes left with our guest today, Martin Zender. If you have a question, I strongly encourage you to get in line now, because otherwise you're probably going to get left in the wind again, as is wont to happen to those people who call up at 10 till 10. 1-800-313-9443 is the number. Use it whenever you like. Bob in Texas, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Frank.
Good morning. I thought you didn't call the morning show anymore because it didn't agree with you.
I didn't call it because it didn't agree with me. I didn't
I heard
call
you say
it because
on a different show.
I didn't want to create an argument during your airtime because I think that you have a mission and you deserve to accomplish it.
I appreciate that. No, you're always welcome to call. I was glad to see your name in the queue there. You have the floor, my friend.
Well, I called this morning because I think that a lot of times people consider themselves blessed with scriptural knowledge, and then at a point where they might should say, I don't know. And what I'm trying to say is a lot of times I find conflict in biblical writings and scripture, and when I find the conflict, I believe it's probably more my problem than it is scripture's problem. Somehow there is sense to be made of it, and God doesn't think like a man. And so when I run into this conflict, and like I have a conflict this morning with Mike's call, originally he had asked about Romans 13. And the reason why I have a conflict and with what Martin said is because we all know that when the mark of the beast is imposed upon mankind, it will be done through a government of some sort. And it would be impossible for it to be done any other way. And so based upon what Martin's response to Mike was, we should go ahead and accept it and just go along to get along.
Mm.
And then I would also point out that, A, Moses wouldn't have left Egypt if he had obeyed Pharaoh's warnings. And Nehemiah wouldn't have complained in Nehemiah 5 to the authorities and demanded his property back.
Let me get you to hang on, Bob, because there's the music.
Okay.
I think that maybe Martin didn't clarify, or maybe it wasn't interpreted the right way, because I think we're actually agreeing with each other again. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. And welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard around the world on the Republic Broadcasting Network, our Friday edition. I'm your host, Frank Whalen, and welcome back to the show. The phone number, of course, 1-800-313-9443. My guest today, dropping spiritual bombs, Martin Zender. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And Bob had a pretty good question there. It does tell us that, you know, things like the Mark of the Beast would be obviously a bad thing, and it tells us, you know, we shouldn't do it, really, because that's a bad thing. But how does that gel with not resisting, or rather being obedient, perhaps?
Well, Bob also mentioned passages from back in the days of Moses and Nehemiah. Now, Paul is the one who's dropping this bomb, saying that all the authorities are set by God, and whoever is resisting the authority is resisting God by extension. And this is a truth restricted to this era. It wasn't true back in Nehemiah's day. This was something new. Paul revealed new truths, and one of them was that God was conciliated to the world through Christ. And because of this truth, in keeping with that, we were to be conciliated to, not maybe not conciliated, but we are to meet evil authorities with good. Now, when this current administration ends, this administration, Paul calls it, of the grace of God, there's going to be a time coming where God is going to be making war on this earth. And I'm not saying that this necessarily applies during that era. Frank, you and I talked earlier about the snatching away, commonly referred to as the rapture. When does that occur? Who goes through it? Who doesn't? That's a whole other topic altogether. But this truth of being subject to the authorities, even if they're evil, it pertains to the current administration. And not many people understand that, the fact that God has put the nation Israel on the back burner for now. Paul himself said that Israel has been temporarily set aside, Romans chapter 11, and God is working with the nations, generally speaking. As soon as he's finished doing that, he'll take up again with Israel. And I'm not claiming that this verse carries at when that new administration begins. But at this present hour, we are to be return evil for good with the evil authorities, okay? It's an administrational thing. Some might call it a dispensational thing. It wasn't in play before. It won't necessarily be in play later, but it's in play now. That's not a cop-out, honestly. That's scripture as I know it.
Well, you know, I would like to quote a scripture of Christ himself speaking,
okay,
rather than Paul. Because, you know, you're probably aware that there are a lot of people who have discerned that Paul wrote some things that were in conflict completely with what Christ actually said himself. And if you go to Luke 25, or it's actually Luke 22, verse 25, Jesus says to them, "The kings of the pagans exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but you shall not be so." Well, Social Security is a government instituted and mandated system that they are the benefactor, and you become the beneficiary under the program. And Christ said, "But you shall not be so." And yet, you go to church, and most of the 501c3 churches will tell you that Paul was the greatest apostle, and he was never an apostle.
Let's pause here for a quick break. Martin, we'll let you respond when we return. You know, I think the other thing people have to keep in mind is that a lot of Paul's writings were audience-specific. So, anyway, we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.